I trust that you have been encouraged so far this morning with our brothers and sisters from the West Coast of the United States in Santa Clarita, California. We saw some brothers and sisters from the Midwest, Chicago, encourage your souls. And then all the way out east, and I'm talking even east of, excuse me, east of Halifax, all the way from the Philippines. And I trust that you've been encouraged and inspired. And as we study God's word this morning, it is without a doubt a time where if we let it, it could really inspire us to great heights. Certainly want to welcome our brothers and sisters from Halifax. I see you there, Janice. I see you, Sienna. I don't know why Nick in Ottawa is hiding. He's got his head down, but that's okay. But we come to you here from the nation's capital. And I know, you know, some of us have been in a lockdown and we're just really fighting through this. Hang in there. This is going to end soon. And we're going to be able to fellowship one another sometime in the near future. The title of the sermon this morning is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? And you'll see why we get this title here in a second. So our text for this morning is Luke chapter 19. It's a familiar story, I think, to some, and may not be as familiar to others. It's a story of an encounter that Jesus had with a man by the name of Zacchaeus. And so we'll go ahead and read that this morning in verses 1 through 10. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, and because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down and at once welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he is gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You know, as we examine the scriptures, there's some things, and I think it's important to get a background here and put it in context where this is coming from. Can you imagine? Here is a guy by the name of Zacchaeus. The Bible tells us that he was met by Jesus as Jesus entered through Jericho. Apparently, Jericho was a place that was economically very exciting. Apparently, some of the Herods had even some retreats there that they created, because it was a very happening place, and it was filled with a lot of commerce, and even wealthy people lived there. Nonetheless, the Bible tells us that there was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus. So let's start with his name for a second. You know, they tell us that Zacchaeus means pure one or innocent one. Isn't that interesting? You know, when Zacchaeus was born, his parents perhaps had a vision of what he was going to be, had a vision that he was going to be someone that was going to live a life of devotion. We realize he was a Jew, and that perhaps he was going to have a great impact. You know, no one, when they're growing up or thinking about their life in the future says, I want to grow up and be a swindler. I want to grow up and my goal is to be a thief. Or my goal is to be an adulterer. I just want to go around bullying people. I just want to hurt people. No, when we're young and we're growing up, that's not our vision. Yet ultimately, Zacchaeus became what was described as a chief tax collector. Interestingly, he is the only one in the scriptures that described this way, as a chief tax collector. There are others who have been called tax collectors, but not chief tax collectors. And Luke wanted us to understand, not only was he a chief tax collector, but also he was wealthy. Now, you might think, well, isn't that obvious if you are a chief tax collector that you'll be wealthy? Maybe Luke wanted us to understand that this guy was not someone who just squandered his money, but rather he was a guy who was pretty wealthy. Not only did he make a lot of money, he ended up having a lot of money. Well, a chief tax collector, implicit in that is that he was not only in charge of his area, so to speak, but he had other people who were in charge of collecting taxes and they reported to him. And so I would imagine it was like he would franchise it out and he will have some people that he hired to collect taxes in different municipalities. Ultimately, they will bring the monies to him. And so the way it worked is that the Romans collected a certain amount of tax. They hired them out, so to speak, to Jews who would collect money from the Jews, and they could charge whatever they want. And so if the Romans said, hey, we want 10% and whatever you collect, you keep. And obviously, there was no rule that they should charge 15% or 25% or whatever. They would charge whatever they wanted. And as you can imagine, when a Jew was being used by the Romans to collect taxes from their fellow Jews, they were not people who were going to be embraced. They were viewed as people who were betrayers, turncoats, Benedict Arnold, whatever you want to call this person, betrayed their people. And without a doubt, Zacchaeus would have been someone that was not invited to dinners. He was not someone who was embraced by the people. He was not for the people. There's no question that he was not elected by the people because this was a hated situation. Now, we pick it up and it says, he, that is Zacchaeus, wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Interestingly, this is one of the few people that in the New Testament where their physical description is given. He was short. And for whatever reason, apparently, if you were short back then, you probably were under 5 feet tall. And so he couldn't see who Jesus was. And so he wanted to find out who Jesus was. Not only who he was, but wanted to get a chance to see him. Now, how did Zacchaeus know about Jesus? I don't know. This is pure conjecture here, that maybe Levi was one of his guys who used to collect taxes, and Levi left, and he found out Levi left, and now he wondered why, and why was this guy who was making money suddenly just leave the scenario and easy money, so to speak, and found out about this and was intrigued by it. I don't know. Certainly Jesus was renowned. A lot of people knew about him. Certainly the miracles that he performed, if you were to read earlier, he had performed quite a few miracles. He had healed the blind. He had some encounters with people. The lame were walking again. And so here, I don't know exactly how Zacchaeus found out about Jesus, but nonetheless, he was intrigued enough. He was fascinated enough that he wanted to see Jesus. One man remarked that Jesus had healed a blind man earlier, and this was the second blind man that he was going to see, because Zacchaeus knew about Jesus, but perhaps he didn't quite see Jesus in the light he needed to see him in. Nonetheless, so we see that Zacchaeus wanted to see who this Jesus was. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily say that he was necessarily going to have an encounter that was the one that he eventually had. Interestingly, I love the way that Luke phrases that Zacchaeus could not see Jesus because of the crowd. Beautiful poetic language. When you ask the question, maybe there's some of us here today who are unable to see Jesus. Oh, we know about him, but we're unable to see Jesus because of the crowds, because of our neighbors, because of our family, maybe because even of a spouse, or even because of our children, or maybe because even of our parents. Maybe there's a crowd that is infringing on your ability to see Jesus. Maybe you've heard about him. One of the things about Zacchaeus, that he did not let the crowd influence him. As a matter of fact, he became an overcomer. Now, not because Zacchaeus was short, that doesn't mean he couldn't see Jesus. He could have gone to the front of the crowd, but for whatever reason, I am sure they were not going to let him in front of them. They wanted to see who Jesus was as well, the crowds, and they were not. And so he anticipated where Jesus was going to be, ran ahead, climbed the tree, scaled another barrier to say, hey, I know, I don't know if you've ever watched golf. And, whenever Tiger Woods is playing, that's where most of the crowds really are. And so what happens is after Tiger finishes a hole, what a lot of people do, rush ahead, maybe skip one hole, but go to another hole so that they can have a front row seat to watch him play, to watch him hit the shot. You know, Zacchaeus said, hey, I want to see Jesus. And so I'm going to run ahead. I'm going to anticipate. I am going to look. I am going to scale whatever barrier there is to be able to have an encounter with Jesus. Not knowing necessarily what was going to happen. But he got a bargain that would change his life forever. I am convinced that if we are willing to ignore the crowds or overcome the crowds, scale the barriers that are put there, be it physically, be it emotionally, whatever is there, and we have that heart and desire to see who Jesus is, we're going to have an encounter not unlike what Zacchaeus had. And so let's look at this encounter. So he climbs the sycamore fig tree and anticipated that Jesus was coming that way and had an encounter that would change his life forever. That would change his life forever. It says when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Why did Jesus address him by his name? I don't know. How did Jesus know his name? Just like Jesus met Nathanael and he called him by name. Maybe it was miraculous. Maybe the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh, he knew him by name. Maybe Zacchaeus had a reputation. Maybe while he was walking, one of his disciples, maybe it was Matthew, the tax collector, that says, that guy, that's Zacchaeus. He is the chief tax collector. And maybe that was issued as a warning to Jesus, that this guy is ruthless. Maybe Jesus called him by name because he would have been shocked that Jesus would actually address him directly. That he was not going to be simply one of the crowd, but rather that Jesus was going to address him directly. That, wait a minute, you talking to me? Are you Jesus talking to me? Do you know who I am? Do you have any idea what my reputation is? Today, there are many people in this world who think that they are so far gone that Jesus will pay no attention to them, that God has no interest in them. There are a lot of times when I would talk to someone and I would talk to them about God, they would say, Tony, man, God is not interested in me. You have no idea what I have done. You have no idea what kind of life I had led. And oftentimes that would actually lead to a conversation that says, actually, you were the exact people that God addresses. I can tell you this, that I believe that Zacchaeus was the least likely where Jesus was going to invite himself over to his house. Can you imagine? I wonder if Zacchaeus had some aides with him. Undoubtedly, he would have some people with him. And maybe he's telling these aides, hey, you know what? Go tell my family. Go and tell my servants at home. It doesn't say Zacchaeus had a family, but go tell my servants at home. Guess who's coming to dinner? The miracle worker. The one who I came to see. Not only did he acknowledge me, but he's coming to dinner to our place. Yes, my place tonight. You know, I don't know if you've ever done this. I know I have. There are times I'm walking about and I look at someone and I say, he looks like he might be interested in Jesus. She looks like she could become a Christian. And oftentimes I say that because I saw a nice disposition, maybe a kind gesture that they had to a waitress or a waiter, or maybe an idea where someone spoke kindly and is giving advice to someone. And there is someone who comes across that is a nice person. And yet Jesus rocked the world of that crowd that day. And the person perhaps least likely not only was issued an invitation, but self-invited himself. It's the only time we see where Jesus actually invited himself to someone's home. He accepted invitations, but this time he invited himself. Luke wanted us to understand this about Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus jumps down from the tree. And I wonder What was he thinking? We know some things that he was. He came down immediately and welcomed Jesus gladly. And he now realizes, man, not only did I get to see Jesus, not only did I get to talk to Jesus, I am now going to be able to sit and converse with him. That I've been called to the front of the line, so to speak. I remember when the Raptors had just opened up in Toronto when I was living in Toronto. And I've gone to the games, the basketball games at times with my boys. I have two boys and I will take them with me. And they were young, cute boys. And so oftentimes what would happen, well, not oftentimes, a few times what happened was I'm coming in and usher sees a father with his boy and has ushered us from, we had tickets way up in the third level, and they will bring us to the first level. And that's a nice gesture to say, thank you for bringing your boy and we're going to give you this. You will be able to watch the Raptors up close. I sort of like felt that's what happened to Zacchaeus here in A Manner of Speaking. He was ushered to the front of the line. He thought, man, he had a back row seat in the trees, and Jesus brings him to the forefront. He thought he wouldn't even be going to be welcomed, and he certainly wasn't going to be embraced. And here this Jesus, who out of everybody in the crowd, picked the least likely. Are you one of those people this morning, wherever you are in your journey with God, you think, I am not a likely candidate? If people really knew what I had done, if people knows what goes on in the closed doors of my house, the thoughts, even the things that I have done. I remember when I was a young man, 35 years ago, and I was studying the Bible. And as I was coming face to face with Jesus, I thought, if people really knew what I was like, what was going on in my heart, the deceit, the selfishness, the lust, the self-absorption, the selfish ambition, the greed. If people knew what was actually going on in my heart, they wouldn't be impressed with me. Because right now, they seem a little bit impressed with me. They seem to like me. They seem to encourage me. So if I really share with them who I really am, they're not going to be as impressed. And yet, as I come to grips with who Jesus is, it's the very fact that we come to grips with who we really are. That those are the people that God reaches out to, who recognize. Now, here's an interesting story. The chapter before, in Luke 18, we have an encounter that is very similar, where Jesus had an encounter. You may know him as the so-called rich young ruler. And he came up to Jesus and he said, and he falls on his knees and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And the Bible tells us, Jesus ends that encounter and he says, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And yet in the very next chapter, he shows us exactly how the rich enters the kingdom of God. Not only the rich, and Luke wanted us to understand, not only was he the chief tax collector, he was also wealthy. And the idea and the encounter that Zacchaeus had here with Jesus is legendary in the sense that the guests that he had that was coming over for dinner, nobody could have guessed who it was going to be. And Zacchaeus was so touched. And the people who were perhaps the more likely to have a conversation with Jesus, they started muttering among themselves and started being critical of the very person that they went to see, Jesus. I wonder if Zacchaeus' aides were saying, did I hear him right that Jesus, that guy, he is coming to our house? Not to eat and to stay? What? These guys were wondering, how could Jesus do this? Does he not know how this person is? Zacchaeus then makes a pledge that is simply stunning. He says, look, Lord, now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, here's the interesting thing. I love what happens here. Zacchaeus has an encounter with Jesus, and all the priorities in his life changed. In his life, he had perhaps dreamed, hey, you know what? I want to become a wealthy person. And I don't know, maybe in his mind he thought, then I'm going to go do good. I don't know. But he thought, man, I want to become a wealthy person. I remember, and it's embarrassing to say, when I was a university student and I just started out, and I thought, man, I want to become a millionaire by the time I was 25. Now, back then, $1 million was a lot. And that was the dream of my life. And I fancied myself a Christian, yet that was the goal in my life. And Zacchaeus realized having money was actually a misnomer. He realized having money did not fulfill what it promised. You know, that's what Jesus says about wealth. Wealth is deceitful. You know why wealth is deceitful? Because it does not fulfill what it promises. It lies. It tells you that you are going to have something that it never is able to fulfill. Wealth in and of itself is not bad. Zacchaeus got the lesson. He had money, but he was poor. He realized that he didn't have money. Money had him, and this money had lied to him. That there are other people who now have become rich by not having money. And Zacchaeus had an encounter. He says, realize now, I am going to reprioritize. I'm going to reorder the things in my life. I put before you, if you've met Jesus and you've not reprioritized and radically changed what are the most important things in your life, maybe you're one of those people who've just heard about Jesus but have never really met Jesus. Because every encounter with the Lord of glory, every encounter with Jesus absolutely reissues a priority schedule in one's life. And Zacchaeus said, that which defined me will no longer define me. So much so, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. And then if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'm going to give them back four times the amount of what I've cheated them. Now, interestingly, in the Old Testament, if you had cheated somebody out of their money, if you needed to make restitution, you actually needed to go and pay back what you owe them plus 20%, a fifth more, not four times the amount, not 400%, not 20 times the penalty. But he said, I am going to give back four times. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when Zacchaeus was now, because he had a record of everybody's taxes that he has taken, right? He's going to knock on people's door. And he knocks on the door and he goes to Simeon's house. Okay, let's make up a name, Simeon. And Simeon knocks on Simeon's door and he says, Simeon's son runs out and sees that there's a man here. And the son says, you know, who are you? He says, you know, I'm Zacchaeus. Can you tell your dad that I'd like to talk to him? And then little Peter runs back to his dad, Simeon. He says, someone by the name of Zacchaeus, and he says he's a tax collector, is at the door. And I am sure the hair on his head, on his, the back of his neck has been raised. He is upset. First of all, I don't want this guy at my house. Secondly, I've already paid my taxes. Why is he coming to collect more? Maybe that's what he was thinking, that he had no commonality with this guy. He didn't even want to talk to him. And can you imagine then? Zacchaeus says, I'm actually here to come and give you back your money. Here's the money that I have cheated you on. Is this a joke? Am I being punked? Is this a trap? Are you trying to trap me? No. My life has changed. I met Jesus. I met the one who's called the Son of Man. And he has changed my life. You met Jesus? Where? How? Well, it's a long story, but I really, really had an encounter here that has radically changed my life. And I am sorry. I am sorry. And I want to give back to you. And then some. A changed life. An encounter with the God of glory brings about a life that is radically changing, irrespective of what people think, irrespective of what the crowds are saying, irrespective of what the general crowds are saying, irrespective of what the religious crowds are saying, irrespective of what my family's going to say. I am now. I wonder if some of the people then who were working for him, who now presumably will lose their job because he's not going to have as much money as he once did, are saying, okay, let's not get crazy with this Jesus thing, okay? And what happens there? Jesus says, salvation has come to your house. That he got something more than he bargained for. The man who was least likely in Jericho that day to have his life transformed by meeting Jesus actually had his life transformed. We get an insight in verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And this man was the definition of what was lost. One who turned his back on his own people. One who was strayed from the path. Perhaps the very one when his parents named him innocent one, pure one. And he was far from what God and his family intended. And the Bible says, such are the people that Jesus is seeking after. Are you one of those people this morning? Is God calling you and saying, I must come and abide with you today? What is your response? I want to encourage you that if you have questions about what this means, we have a number of people in the Ottawa and the Halifax area that would be more than interested to talk to you and help you see this Jesus. To have this kind of encounter that transformed a man. And I love what it says. Jesus seeks after the lost. You know, if we are going to be imitators of the Christ, then we too need to be seeking after the lost. Don't have preconceived notion who might be what we call open to the gospel because someone serves in a soup kitchen, because someone helps someone to cross the road. And they may be. But the point is, there's a lot of times I know I have discounted people because what I perceive as a Zacchaeus, so to speak, as a notorious character. And Jesus says, for these are the people that I have come after. Do you realize one of the messages that Jesus is teaching here, that no one is too far from the grasp of Jesus, that there's no one who is so far gone, who is so far away that the arm of God is too short to save, that there is no cry and as faint as Zacchaeus' cry was when he was hiding in that sycamore fig tree, that there is no cry so faint that God can't hear. Maybe there's some of us, even in this pandemic, that have lost our way. And we figured, man, I have done so many things during this pandemic that I never would have even dreamed of. That I've been lost in pornography and self-absorption and drinking and drugs and so many things that I never, ever dreamed and planned when this pandemic started that I would become. And I wonder if God is so ashamed of me now. And if this message that Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus says, no, there's no such thing. For Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Not to seek and save those who are found. And so today, guess who came to the house of Zacchaeus to have dinner? And it radically changed his life. It radically changed his life. If you only know Jesus from asking Jesus to come into your heart and it has not transformed your life, I put before you, that's not this Jesus. Every encounter that people had with the Messiah resulted in a reprioritizing of their lives, a reordering of what is important in their life, as it did for this man. Jesus showed the rich young ruler how hard it is, but he showed here, when you meet Jesus, you can be transformed. With man, this is impossible, but not so with God. May God really give you the courage and the inspiration to reach out. Reach out to us here. Send us a note. In this day and age, let's climb that sycamore fig tree. Let's go over the crowd. Let's not just stay there and waffle. We would love. We are in the mission of Christ to seek and save the lost in Halifax, in Ottawa. He wants to come and be with you today and be a guest at your dinner house. Thank you so much. And I pray that you feel the love of God that he has for you and that he has for me. At this time, after this, we have communities that we're a part of where we partake in community. If you ever want to be part of that faith community, please go ahead and reach out to us as well. We'd love to invite you to one of these. May God bless you as you continue to seek him, because you know this for sure. He is seeking after you. He doesn't force us. But when he issues the invitation, may we have the response that Zacchaeus did, who ultimately became the innocent one and the pure one. God bless you as you embark on your journey with God.